You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The city of Ketchum became the latest community to mandate face masks in public with a 3-1 vote last night by city council. Moscow, Haley, Driggs, McCall, and Boise made that move last week. And these orders come with some controversy and some disagreement. In fact, in Ketchum last night, the city's mayor, Neil Bradshaw, recommended against a mandate. But the council went the other way. Joining us live today to talk more about these mandates are Kaz Thea and Sam Linnett. Both are Haley City Council members. And Lisa Sanchez and Holly Woodings both sit on the Boise City Council. Welcome, everyone.
Nice to be here.
Gemma.
Thank you, Gemma.
And if you would like to join the conversation, maybe you have a comment or a question for our panel, if you can get that question in now, we may be able to get it answered. Just go to idahomatters@boisestate.edu and drop us a line. So Kaz and Sam, I want to start with the two of you because I want you to take us back to early March when Blaine County became a hotspot for COVID-19. I mean, at one point you had more cases per capita than New York City did. What was that like to be in your community at that time? And Kaz, why don't we just start with you?
Well, thanks for having me, Gemma, and happy to talk to you. So back in March, we had great snow and holiday spirit on the mountain and a lot of people visiting and skiing. And with that, there were also a few weddings and people travel in and out of this community a lot. So yes, it came here somehow and it spread very rapidly. In fact, I had COVID-19. I got it, wow. I think on March 6th and started showing symptoms on the 9th. And it escalated very, very quickly. But I have to say that we are a small, nimble community that reacted fairly quickly, and we got it under control. And that's my concern now, because at that time, we had the opportunity to take anybody that needed hospitalization to our area network hospitals in Twin and Boise. We won't have that luxury today, necessarily, because of hotspots in these other locations. But we did. We shut down, and we stopped the spread rather quickly, because we're a small community. Mm-hmm.
Well, and Sam, what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was pretty scary and serious. You know, I think there are a lot of communities that haven't seen how bad this virus can affect their local communities. And I think we're a great example of how serious it can be on a smaller scale. Our hospital shut down, our economy shut down more severely than anywhere else in the state. And that affected people's livelihoods and their health and their mental health. And you know, part of this mask ordinance is not wanting to go back to that place mm-hmm. because of how severe and scary it was for our local residents.
I mean, we should note, I mean, your numbers are down in Blaine County. I mean, you did get a handle on this. However, you are a tourist destination and people are visiting right now. So was that one of the reasons to put this mandate in place, was to make sure that you stay on that downward trend?
Absolutely. I think because of our highly visited community and a lot of second homeowners coming from elsewhere, it's really, really important not to get where we were in March and April. And I think that the mask mandate needs to happen. And it, you know, I'm just following the science in part. And I want our community to stay vibrant and open. I want our businesses to stay open. I want schools to possibly open again in person in the fall. And so we only have a few tools in our toolbox. Masks are one of them. And if everybody is doing it, the science shows that it can reduce the person-to-person, it's the most effective way to reduce the person-to-person contact and spread. And if everyone does it and participates, it has a 60% effective rate. So why wouldn't we do that mm-hmm. with so many people visiting here? And we really, really don't want to go back to where we were, complete shutdown that really strained a lot of businesses and our entire community.
Well, and in fact, the Sun Valley Economic Development wrote a letter for public comment about last night's city council meeting in Ketchum about a mask mandate, urging the council to pass it. I mean, we should note that CVED works countywide, and so it impacts Haley, but they said all of their 150 plus members supported this because that's exactly right, Kaz. They said, we do not want to have to shut our economy down. So Sam, I'm curious, what has been the feedback, if any, in regards to this mask mandate? Because Haley, you were first, I believe, with any of the municipalities in our state to put a mandate in place.
Yeah, I think we tied for first with Moscow. But the overwhelming feedback has been positive, and not just thanks for doing that, but a sincere, like, heartfelt thank you from folks that we passed this this ordinance. I mean, the mask requirement is easier and just less costly than requiring people to quarantine or stay at home. And our local doctors are advocating for it. Our local, you know, economic development group is advocating for it. The CDC recommends it. And I think it's in line with Governor Little's direction, which is to have local municipalities be in charge of passing or not passing mask ordinances mm-hmm. for their specific circumstances. So, you know, I think we're following the guidelines from health professionals and doctors and our constituents. And as a result, it has been widely supported.
Sam, do you think also some of that has to do with the fact that because Blaine County, as Kaz mentioned, I mean, you're small, right? I mean, population-wise. And you either had COVID or you probably knew somebody that did. So you have been, I mean, I would argue that almost every person living in your county has somehow been directly impacted by COVID-19. And that hasn't been the case where there's been protests in other places. How much do you think just that, you know, that personal connection to this has played a part in people's response to this?
I think it's a huge part of our local response here. One of the secretaries in my office was in the hospital for 3 weeks. And so, you know, I think Haley is not special, and it's important that we're having this conversation with you, and hopefully people across the state are listening, because what happened to us could happen to any small town in the state. And it's, I understand and have compassion for those folks that don't feel it's a big problem where they're at, but I would just implore them to realize that it can be, and it can go from just fine to really, really bad very quickly. And I don't wish what we went through in March and April upon anyone.
And honestly, you don't know if you're going to be one of those people affected very poor, you know, very severely.
Right.
I was not. I had COVID as well and didn't get very, very sick. I had a fever. I had all the symptoms. It didn't last so long and I wasn't very sick, but you just don't know. And even though young people seem to be getting it now because they're going to bars and they're celebrating like we're not in lockdown anymore, you can so easily spread it. It's so contagious. You so easily spread it to somebody else that actually might be very high risk. And you mm-hmm. just don't know. You don't know whether you have it or not. I can tell you a story. My husband runs the Forest Service in the Ketchum District, and one of his firefighters was on a recent rescue, and there were three people from, middle-aged people, I believe, from Texas. And one of the people in their party got hurt. And the firefighter brought him into the hospital, and upon admitting him to the hospital, they tested him, and he was positive. Mm. And they didn't know that, so they didn't wear the PPE stuff. And then they traced to his two buddies who happened to be at a local bar and brought them in, and they both also were positive. So that's how easily it's going to be spread in our community, right?
Right. And why roll the dice, right? If you're just joining us, we're talking with Kaz Thea and Sam Lynette, both our Haley City Council members. Lisa Sanchez and Holly Woodings are with us as well. They sit on the Boise City Council. We're talking about the mask mandates. If you have questions or comments, send us an email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Holly and Lisa, I want to turn to you, and I want to turn to the city of Boise. It is the largest city in the state. Ada County's case count is skyrocketing. I mean, in fact, just yesterday, the state reported that there were 190 new cases just in Ada County on Monday. Is this one of the reasons why you decided to put this mandate in place? And we should note, after places like Haley and Moscow, you know, moved much quicker on this.
Hi, Gemma. This is Holly. Thank you so much for having us. Yes, that is why we decided to put this mask mandate in place. And it was last week after our city council meeting that I started talking with the mayor about getting this into place quickly. And because we saw the initial cluster after bars opened in stage three, and that cluster is now impacting the rest of the community as it spreads throughout, as Kaz was saying happened. So that was very much it.
Mm-hmm. And let's be clear, it has not been welcome news for everyone in our community in Boise. I mean, Lisa, in fact, there was a protest outside of City Hall when you decided as a city council to put this mandate in place. People then burning masks. Talk to me about what it's like to not just see that kind of backlash, but to be an elected official that has to, you know, deal with that kind of backlash on a decision.
Yes, Gemma. I was fortunate to join Council President Pro Tem Woodings on Friday to distribute masks, six masks per family at the train depot. And I'm sure Holly would agree, it was very moving to see the people who showed up to receive those free masks. We saw folks from all walks of life, but it was particularly moving to see the folks who were driving late model cars. The way we worked it out, we had folks drive up, they'd roll down their passenger side window to do a safe distance and giving them their masks. And there were some folks, they couldn't roll their window down because their window didn't work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just goes to show you the need that exists in our community. And, you know, we had folks who were picking up masks for neighbors because they were too vulnerable to come and pick up masks for themselves. So it was particularly painful to see that. I know, and I don't know if council member Woodings remembers this, but there was one pickup truck that came through with a Tread on Me flag, and we gave them masks because, you know, the assumption is that they're there because they need the resource, and only to find out that they were picking up masks most likely to burn at that protest. Mm-hmm. And I myself have participated in protests. I was arrested in 2014 with the Add the Words actions at the State House. So I am not somebody who is against protests. That's a freedom of speech I embrace. But mm-hmm. to waste resources that, I mean, all you have to do is look in, on the news. I mean, when our country was dealing with the spike of COVID in different parts of the country and people were desperate for these protective gear to actually burn a mask that a neighbor would need, it's just not acceptable, and it's very painful to see people doing that.
Holly, are you concerned that that Ada County could turn into what Blaine County went through back in March and April? And I ask that because, I mean, we even know like our hospitalizations are going up. And I think Kaz made such a good point that when this was happening in Blaine County, they could send patients to Twin Falls. They could send patients to Boise. That may not be a possibility if the numbers keep going up.
Yeah, you're completely right. You know, we are the place where small towns will send their patients once their healthcare systems are overwhelmed, but we don't have anywhere else. And so if something similar to what happened in Haley and Ketchum happens in Boise, you know, we're on our own. And what we're seeing right now in case counts is that, yeah, that initial spike after stage three largely impacted young people who aren't requiring hospitalization. Now we're seeing our case counts among the older and more vulnerable increasing dramatically, like doubling every week. And if we stay on that trajectory, our healthcare system will be overwhelmed very quickly. And I think, like Sam and Kaz said earlier, this is scientifically proven to slow the spread of coronavirus. And so why wouldn't we mask up for our own health and for the health of our neighbors and to slow the spread in our communities? and avoid that, you know, situation where our hospitals are having to make impossible decisions every day.
And we're starting to see that in hospitals in places like Arizona and Texas. Let's talk about fines with this mask mandate. In Haley, Kaz, and Sam, it's an infraction if people do not follow the mandate with a $100 fine. Now, this could have gone all the way up to $300, but you as a council decided to lower it to $100. Talk to us about why you decided to do that, but also what will enforcement potentially look like?
Enforcement is going to be largely educational at first. Like I said, there's a lot of support for this ordinance in our community. The hope is that we don't have to fine many people in the city for not wearing a mask, but we've obviously reserved that tool if we need to, if our police officers need to make sure that people are following the order. But the initial, report from the Haley Police Department over the last week has been that it's mostly a matter of education going forward right now. And that's our intent. I mean, our intent is not to pass a draconian order and collect a bunch of fines. We want people to be safe. And I think educating them is going to be the best way to do that, starting this thing out.
And Lisa and Holly, same question to the two of you about what enforcement will look like. Because I just want to say anecdotally that even at the grocery store on Sunday, I saw in downtown Winco, first off, they had a sign before you entered that said masks are required. And I saw like one person without a mask. Then I went to another grocery store and it was the Albertsons on Broadway. And there were numerous people not wearing masks. So I realize it was, only 24 hours into this mandate. Yet again, how do you enforce it? And I believe it's a misdemeanor if within the city limits of Boise.
Yeah, the way we're approaching it is very much like the way that Haley's approaching it, really from an education standpoint. We want people to be healthy. The way that we know that we can keep people healthy and keep our businesses open is to be wearing masks in public places. And so really relying on our business partners to make sure that their customers are complying also. But again, we don't want it to be draconian. We don't want to be issuing misdemeanors. We reserve the right to do that, but mostly it's gonna be education. And Gemma, I had a similar experience to you at Home Depot on Friday, actually before the ordinance even came into effect. And I went into Home Depot where I think not very many people were masking before and almost everyone was wearing a mask. So I shot a text off to the mayor and I said, I think this is working. I think it's gonna work. So it was really heartening to see people doing that voluntarily for their health and the health of their neighbors.
I will say this, that I mentioned this on Friday on our reporter roundtable, that I was driving through downtown, I believe Thursday, downtown Boise. I saw more people wearing masks than I had seen since the beginning of this pandemic. Oh, we have a listener question, and either Holly or Lisa, if you could answer it. It's from a listener saying, I have a big question that I'm wondering, does it apply to Ridge to Rivers Trail? I think it'd be almost impossible to run or mountain bike with a mask in the heat. And I'm also not sure where the city limits stop in the foothills.
Well, from a policy standpoint, the ordinance does make a carve out for when you're outdoors and you're able to keep 6 feet of distance from others. So if you're on a Ridges to Rivers Trail that's not heavily trafficked and you're able to keep that distance, then you don't need to mask. What I've been doing is just keeping a mask with me when I'm on the trails, just in case I'm entering an area where there's a lot of folks, and then I'll just mask up while I'm there. But generally I've been able to run and hike in the foothills without having to worry about masking.
Go ahead.
Can I add to that? One thing, it's wonderful that, we have our mayor who put in place the mask mandate and other communities are following suit, but this is not about complying with the law. This is a virus. this is very serious. This is about people's lives, and people need to be mindful of that. And this is not about getting out of a loophole. This is about people being able to come out the other end of this alive. I have a colleague in El Paso. She just buried both her parents who were felled by the virus. She herself is hospitalized now fighting COVID. So just want to make that clear. You know, it's wonderful that we have a mayor and other in councils in other parts of our state who are taking this so seriously that they're taking these measures to mandate the masks. But at the end of the day, each person is responsible for their own safety. And whether you're on the trail or on the green belt, that's what we need to convey to folks.
Right. And I think it's important to note, too, that people understand what the exceptions are and things like that. I mean, for example, in the city of Boise, if you're under the age of 5, you know, you do not have to have a mask on. So how far reaching does this mandate go? For example, let's just start, Kaz and Sam, with you. For example, could these mandates supersede like any mandate or lack thereof for maybe schools going back to school in the fall? Can the city council say, all right, we've passed this, schools are indoor, if you can't social distance, you need to wear a mask? Or will that also continue to be up with to the school district?
I believe the ordinance states that any public place, and I consider school a public place. Anybody can walk in. You know, we defined it differently for gyms because it's a membership. So it's not exactly a public place. And if they don't want to mask up, then our lawyer said it probably they don't have to. But I consider a school a public place. And so they would have to follow the Haley mandate. And it's tricky because businesses, we're not asking, nor should they be responsible to enforce that. However, I think they're also finding that they can take cover under the ordinance if they wanted to prior and were a little afraid how people were going to respond and react for their business. Now they can say, look, it's mandated by our city. So yeah, it's a little tricky, and I agree with what you guys have said in Boise, that, you know, it's not about being punitive and causing this big fine. It's really about compassion and empathy for each other, one another, to show that we care. We want our economy to stay functioning and our businesses and schools to open and stay open. So I think, yeah, any public place inside, any public place outside, if you can't social distance, you are expected to wear a mask. And it's important to note that no, when you're recreating, if you're containing, you know, if you have that social distance, you do not have to wear a mask. But it's always smart to carry one at this point, wherever you are.
And Samantha,
go ahead, Sam.
I'll just clarify really quickly. We do include educational institutions in our definition of public places. So at this time, it would apply to schools, to answer your question specifically.
Okay. And Holly, what about the city of Boise's mandate? Would that also apply to educational institutions?
I mean, at this point it would. I've been talking with the mayor and some others about forthcoming guidance from our health district, Central District Health, that might specifically apply to situations like, you know, even right now with daycares and day camps, schools would probably fall into that. So I think that this is definitely evolving as there's different guidance for different scenarios like schools and other places for children.
Final question. Have you had conversations with people who question the science, because we see it everywhere? And if so, I mean, how do you respond to that? Or frankly, does it even make a difference? And I think we're probably seeing more of this in Ada County. So Holly and Lisa, maybe I'll ask the two of you that question.
Well, you know, I completely have compassion and empathy for anybody who doesn't want to wear a mask. I don't like wearing a mask either, but
right,
I
they're
also
not fun.
I happen to be a type 2 diabetic. And so for me, I've had to have workarounds. And so for me, I want to be around people just like everybody else. And so I have my meetings outside my home on my deck, socially distanced. And, you know, sometimes we wear masks, but when I go out into public, I realize because I do meet with people, I need to protect folks when I go into public areas. And so really the conversations that I have with folks who are hesitant about wearing masks or they don't want to wear them, I say, you know, we have this saying here in Boise, it's Boise kind. And the wearing of the mask is about putting your fellow brothers and sisters before yourself. And the mask isn't to protect myself as the wearer, it's to protect others that I'm around. And that's the approach that I've been taking with folks. You know, all we have to do before COVID, what do when we sneeze? You know, we tuck our face into our elbow. So it's a natural instinct to cover your mouth. So here we've got this virus that is so insidious and it's so transmissible that we have to be taking these measures. And that's the approach I take when talking to folks, that it's about putting our brothers and sisters first. If you don't trust the science, how about just trust the love that all of us have for each other and come at it from that perspective.
I want to thank all of you for taking time out of your busy days to talk about this. I appreciate your candor. I appreciate you also having to sometimes do hard things because they're not always the easiest thing to do. So thank you so much for talking to us today. We have been talking with Kaz Thea and Sam Linnett. Both are Haley City Council members, as well as Lisa Sanchez and Holly Woodings, who sit on the Boise City Council. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Wear your masks, everybody.
Up next, we are going to look at some latest rulings from the U.S. Supreme Court. This is Idaho Matters.